Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
Oh, a Howard in the house.
It's been a while, Quinn.
What's happening?
Not a ton in my life. What's new with you?
No, you're not getting off the hook that easy. Give me the latest death-defying thing that you've done.
I really haven't done too much lately. I've been doing weddings. Are fall weddings a thing now?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They always
I've been to more fall weddings this fall than my whole life combined.
Well, like, you're also in that season of life.
That's
true.
Friends
are getting married, and fall is just a good time.
That's true. I guess, so I graduated near COVID, so the first wave of weddings was, like, everyone post-graduation as soon as, like, you could have events again, and then it was, chaos. And then for a couple years, there wasn't a ton, so maybe it's just picking back up.
What's your go-to gift?
For the wedding?
Yeah.
I always pick out some sort of neat kitchen utensil, dish, something.
Fondue set. Knife set. German. Very nice.
Because I think, like, my parents, there's still things in their kitchen to this day that they'll be like, oh, yeah, Aunt Betty gave us that for our wedding.
You know, that's
like,
so funny you say
I don't
that.
I know, it's fun.
Do you get it off the registry, or do you just go and get something?
It depends on the person. Mm-hmm. If it's, like, a family member, I'll usually go get something because I can take a little bit more creative liberty. Mm-hmm. But I'm honestly a terrible gift giver. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not my strength. And, like, I'm just so bad.
Cotton linens, Egyptian. Place settings, candlesticks, crystal stemware, which they'll probably never use because it's crystal stemware. Oh, I'll go all day.
So usually I stick with the registry. I'm like, at least they're going to like this.
I feel like my wife and I were the last wave of people who got china as part of our wedding registry.
Yeah.
We did register for it. I had the experience of reading I don't know if it was an article or like a guidepost or something at some point, Reader's Digest, about, a woman who she used her china all the time. And when asked, she was a widow, and when asked about it, she said that, they got this china when they were married, and they were so concerned about it that they never used it, like ever. It never got out of the box.
That makes sense. I think that's what most people do, right?
And then when he passed, the husband passed, she realized, like, this is ridiculous. Like, and it was such a touching story. I did not do it justice, even close. So I try to use our china as much as possible. All the holidays, china comes out. When we have maybe a fancy dinner, like maybe some people over and we're doing something nice, and my wife rolls her eyes and I'm like, nope, we're using the china. Using the china. We even got to the point where I think we had like 6 settings, and my mother, for one of our anniversaries, because it was, of course, what happens when you buy china, like, it's done. Like, they don't make the same kind anymore.
Right.
So there's these websites that you can find old, reproductions or whatever. And so she found a couple other place settings. I love our china. Love it.
That's
absolutely
sweet.
Love it. Yep.
I think my parents have gotten out the china, like, a few times. Because my mom loves to get... So when we do big family gatherings, my mom's side is like 30 people.
Mm.
So we just do like paper plates, but she gets those like huge ones that
have
turkey on them or whatever.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
They're like festive paper plates.
Love them. Love
so
them.
We don't get the china out too much, but maybe we should.
That's great. But in regards to that, I do have, there were some things on our registry, and I'm sure people were like, why am I buying him like a lobster cracker? Like, what? Well, we have two very heavy-duty lobster cracker things, or crab, crab legs. And when they come out, when we have that, they come out. And I'm like, I love them. Love it. I'm so glad we have it. Now, admittedly, I don't remember who got it for us. So that's a bummer. Sorry. Sorry if you're listening to this and you're like, darn it, I got that for you. What? You don't remember?
Spent $600
on your lobster. Let me know. Now I'm going to have 5 friends that are going to be like, I got you that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you weren't even at my wedding. I didn't even know you then. That's going to be funny. Anyways, all right, so welcome to the show. So nothing death-defying you've been doing other than weddings, which, hey, that's dangerous.
I mean, I break it down on the dance floor.
I
break my foot out there or something.
I do not doubt
but
it.
But nothing too crazy.
What's your move?
I don't really have a go-to.
What?
I'm more of a feel the beat.
You have a go-to. I could break
I
down.
Think
you,
about
are
it.
You like a Like a mow the lawn? Like a do-do-do?
Oh, I'm way more advanced than a mow the lawn.
Yeah?
Like, come
a sprinkler?
On. Sprinkler.
Come on, what are you? Mow the lawn and sprinkler?
At the same time?
No. You mow the lawn, you do the sprinkler. You mow the lawn. Logan's
got
to mow the lawn.
He just
sprinkler.
Laughed walking up the stairs
yeah,
at you.
Start the lawnmower. Start the lawnmower. Oh, thanks. Come on.
I'll think about it. I'll let you know.
Roger Rabbit, you know that one?
I recognize it when you're doing it but.
What is
I don't
it?
Know
cabbage Patch? Whatever that was?
Or you, oh,
I'm running my legs right now. It's not working. Robot, that's classic. Come on. I can see you, robot.
I used to actually.
You're definitely robot.
I'd say my go to. It's like maybe the similar to the Dougie.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. All right. Do you wobble?
I mean, when the wobble plays for the 9 minutes that song
oh,
is, I'll wobble.
The electric
Sheesh.
Slide?
All right, Quint, let's get to our question. My goodness.
I love it. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we got a great question from Joe today. Joe, what do you got?
DIY!
Hey, DIY Money, this is Joe. Love the show. You all do an amazing job. Keep up the great work answering questions and being super hilarious along the way. My question for you today, so my wife and I are expecting a baby in January. We are super excited. And I've heard that one strategy is to create a business that, say, I own or in my wife's name, and to hire our child as an employee so that we can pay them a salary that can avoid some tax implications and have them earning money from a very early age, earlier than if they were to go out and get a worker's permit and actually work at another company. Are you aware of this strategy of creating a family business and paying your children directly? What are your thoughts and what should we know about this strategy? Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day. I'll look forward to listening to the podcast again soon. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Joe. I don't like this method. I have heard of this. I'll talk about a couple of actual methods by which I understand it, meaning it like makes a little bit more sense to me, but I guess my first question is, what are these children going to be doing for you that they're going to be earning money, like legitimate wages? And this gets into an area that I do not like. It's just too fishy. Wishy. Fishy? Wishy. Wishy-washy. Fishy,
both.
Wishy.
Fishy and wishy.
Fishy. Yeah, I just don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think, number one, what are you trying to accomplish? Okay, let's talk about that. Number one, I want my kids to have capital, grow capital over time, and have money available to them. Okay, open up a custodial account, or if you want to do 529s, we've talked about that ad nauseum, you know, put money into an account on their behalf. You can accomplish a tremendous amount. I have kids preparing to go to college. They have ample resources to be used for college. That which they do not use can be used to buy a house, a car. Well, they don't have that much. They can put a down payment on a house or a car or what have you, especially if they're able to secure scholarship money, et cetera. So if it's for the future, you can kind of go some roundabout ways of doing that. Let's say you have a legitimate business, however. Let's say that you have a small business or you do eventually want to pay your children for something. So, look, I think in most states, kids can work around 14. That's when my child went to work. He started working at Chick-fil-A. He got some money, was able to participate in their, believe it or not, their 401k with match, which was kind of cool. But what that also did was it gave him W-2 earnings, and the minute he had W-2 earnings, I was able to open a custodial Roth for his benefit and put that money in. Now, he's 14, so yes, I didn't start that at 1 or 2. So he's going to miss those 12 years of earnings. But look, 14 for a Roth to 59 and a half, that's still going to be pretty darn good. So I'm okay with that. Again, kind of determining what you want to accomplish. Now, getting back to your original question. I have had folks that have had small businesses, and this, in my personal opinion, this is the only, this is the only way that I think it is like legitimate. let's say you have a small business and you have a doctor's office or a dentist office or some sort of place where people come in to your office, or you do some sort of marketing, like you actually produce pamphlets or flyers or whatever for your business. You could sort of contract your children to be models for your advertisements. I've always wanted to say that. For your advertisements, and you could pay them to be, you know, in those photos, up on the walls, in the pamphlets, in the flyers. You're paying them as a model for their service, a 1099. You're not putting them on payroll. It's not like they're, you know, showing up to work every day to do these. You're giving them 1099s, and ultimately, you then can use that resources to put into a Roth custodial account because, again, they can't have that until they're 18 in their own name, but it's kind of in their name, but you're the custodian or the parent's the custodian. So a Roth, and they could start saving in that manner. Did I do that? No, I did not do that. I did not, and I, legitimately, I could have taken pictures of my kids. I could have put them up. You know, I could have had them sitting on a, I don't know, a stack of Value Line research reports or something, like, hey, even my kids do research. I don't know. I mean, I could have paid them $100 for that. So now, could I have paid them $10,000 for that? I mean, I guess, but if an IRS agent comes in and goes, no, wait a second, your kid got 10 grand for that? Like, would you have paid someone else? I'd be like, no, they're not as cute. No, I'm just joking. But again, I think those are just, those are, I'm not a fan of those things. I just never have been. Again, I have had people who've done it, and they the kids are models, I wanted to stress this, and they paid them, and they put it in a custodial Roth, and that flies. Like, I think that's okay. Like, they're going to pay somebody to do that, or they're going to buy the photos to do that. Why not their own children? But it also goes, again, it goes back to what is it that you're trying to accomplish, and I think there's a lot of other ways that you could explore that wouldn't be as kind of fishy, wishy. What say you, Allie?
You can't keep me cooped up in here, okay? I am a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
I think that's good. You kind of took the thunder there on the rationale behind it. But to me, when I approach this, I think there's a different answer, whether from how it seemed in your question, at least, you're wanting to start a business to employ your kids, rather than if you had a business and you wanted to get your kids involved. So I think that's kind of the first thing to work through. If you're starting, you know, a family lemonade
stand.
Oh, if
we're talking child labor, I'm all for that. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. That's a joke.
For legal reasons, that was a joke.
You're in trouble, aren't you?
If you're wanting to start, like, a family lemonade stand for the sake of having little Joe run it, then that's probably not going to fly. But it, like you were saying, if there's a way for your kid to get involved in a business you already sustain, then that's another thing. And then, like you said, too, I think the biggest thing from a what's the IRS going to think about this perspective is this idea of what they call reasonable compensation, which can be kind of vague, but essentially ensuring that you're paying your kids for real work, for real wages. So you're not paying them, you know, $80 an hour to dust in your office, because that may not be comparable to what you would pay someone else for that same service. But you're also paying them for work that adds value. So you're not creating a new position that they can build things out of Legos and then you take pictures of it and that somehow translate into your business. I was going to get a little bit into the weeds on the tax kind of implications of this, but I think in the case that this is something you want to do, this is definitely something that we do this a lot, but we would refer you to talk to your CPA about. There's a lot of complexity and a lot of laws within. And so I can give you kind of like a broad overview of that. But I think if you are wanting to employ your kid, because it is a little bit dicey and there's a lot of technicalities of doing this in a correct way, which could be beneficial, I would talk to a CPA about it anyway. So I won't get into that. The last thing I'd say too is just as a general rule of thumb, just be mindful of the labor laws too. Even though they are your kid, you still want to make sure you're following those, even if it's in accordance with a tax perspective being okay.
I think, again, you got to come back to what the objective is. I cannot stress that enough. I feel really good. Could we have done more? I guess. I don't know. I feel really good about our children's sort of the cushion, not cushion, it's not a cushion, but the setup, the amount we have for them. I don't think it's exorbitant, and I think it's just right. I think my 16-year-old is very well aware and very motivated that which he does not use for college is excess to be used for whatever. He also knows that if he chooses a college where we don't have enough set aside for that, then that's going to be a loan on him, or you know, something to be, you know, kind of, it's going to be on his responsibility. So I feel good about that. I also feel good that when they were 14, they could start working, and I highly encouraged that. And I think that was a real big transition point, just from a parenting aspect. When you send your kid off to the workforce and they're working around, you know, 30-year-olds that are working there to pay bills, like real bills, not just, you know, buy a new pair of shoes like my 14-year-old would do, or you know what I mean?
Right.
That's a big deal. Now, the environment, what my wife was super concerned of, I was too, for sure, is you're sending your 14-year-old to a work environment, which sometimes can be dicey, I guess, if you're, right. You know, you're sending your child, our firstborn. So I think it's very important to know that environment. And we felt very confident and comfortable in the environment we were sending him to. 2 years later, he's working at a golf course, and it's probably not as great of environment, but it's pretty good. And we know many of the people who are working there. He got it on his own. Like, I didn't pull any strings to get him there, but I do know the manager. I do know the owner. You know, I kind of can keep tabs, if you will. So I think that was very valuable. And on our middle son, who's 14 now, and he will be, you know, this summer doing something. He just knows that. Like, he watched his brother. At 14, his brother got a job. Like, he will do something. And we're kind of exploring that right now. But I had no desire to just be like, okay, they're going to have $500,000 by the time they're 18 in an account. And no way. I had no desire to do that.
Right.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's Dougie it on out of here. What do you say?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah?
Cue the music now.
Cue the music. All right, listen, friends, the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest. Do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want content delivered to you regularly, be sure to follow us on Instagram at DIY.money. And if you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.